You know, if you look around, you quickly find broken hearts, broken dreams, broken homes, broken economies, broken systems, broken people. I'm broken in many places, and you are too. Now, we hate to admit this, so we spend enormous amounts of time and energy and resources trying to cover up, hide, and deny our human brokenness. Then every so often, we run out of steam, we get tired, and discouragement rushes in. But this broadcast is about what to do when that happens. Rather than giving up in despair, you need to look up to God. What you need is authentic hope. And I know where you can get it. This is Daily Hope, and I'm Rick Warren.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Well, we begin a series called The Invisible War. Now, in these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil, and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called, When You Feel Like Giving Up.
You know, yesterday afternoon, I was sitting up in my study at home, had the window open, such a beautiful day, and all of a sudden I thought, man, somebody's cooking barbecue. You know, when you get that smell, and you just know the coals are getting ready, and it's, man, that's good. But then as the time went on, I go, that's not barbecue, that's trash. Somebody's burning trash. And then as I smelled it a little bit longer, I said, that's not trash, that's a grass fire. So I went out in my backyard, and there's a big fire going on. Because I live out in the canyon, and the fire was coming up the canyon, so Kay gets the phone and calls the fire department, said, we just got a call, we're on our way, 5 trucks show up, and the helicopters, you know, dropping stuff and like that. And so about an hour before the service, I'm out with my hose watering all my precious fruit trees down. And, you know, I finish that, and then, you know, I'm nearly late to the service, and so I hop into my truck real quick, and the battery's dead. Now, folks, this is something you learned a long time ago. It's a great principle of life. It's just 3 words. It's always something. Okay? You're never going to have a problem-free life. It's always something. You're either just coming out of a problem, or you're in the middle of a problem, or you're getting ready to go into a new one. Because life is simply a string of problems. It's always something. Now, this letter is old, but it's still true today. Dear Pastor Rick, if I could sum up my life in a single word, it would be conflict. It seems I have to fight for everything. Everything is a battle. I battle with my kids, I battle with my husband, I battle with my job. It's even tough with my walk with the Lord. And we struggle. We struggle with our money. We struggle with our intimate life. We struggle even just to understand each other. Plus, I've got all my internal struggles, all my internal fears and battles. I just can't seem to stick with stuff, even when I know it's the right thing to do. Why is life so tough? Will the battle ever end? I really hope so, because sometimes I just feel like walking away from it all. It's a good question. Why is life so tough? Well, it wasn't always that way. In the Garden of Eden, it was paradise. But John Milton wrote a poem about it called Paradise Lost. And when Adam and Eve decided, we're going to go our way instead of our God's way, all the problems started, and every one of us have done the same thing since. It's called sin. Saying, God, I think I know what'll make me happy more than you do, so I'm going to disobey what you've said to do, and I'm going to do what I think is right. And that is the source of all the problems in the world, and sin entered the world, and the world is broken. Now, we've talked about this many times. Nothing on earth is perfect. everything on this planet is broken by sin. The weather is broken. That's why we have all these weird catastrophes and things. The economy is broken. Your body is broken. It doesn't work perfectly. Have you noticed that? No relationship works. They're all broken. Every family is broken. There is no perfect family. There is no perfect marriage. There's no perfect friendship. Nothing is perfect on this planet except the truth of God's Word. And God said when Adam and Eve got kicked out of paradise, they said, now it's going to be hard because everything's broken and life is hard. That's why we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, God's will is done perfectly. It's rarely done on earth. We choose to do our own will and people get hurt and we hurt ourselves. Now, in addition to this fall of sin, there's a cosmic battle going on for your life. I don't know if you realize this or not, but I call it the invisible war. And there are forces out to destroy your soul. The Bible specifically calls them the world, the flesh, and the devil. There is first the battle inside you. That's the battle within, which is your own sinful nature. It is your predisposition to make the wrong choice. I mean, have you ever done things that were actually self-destructive, but you did it anyway? Yes. Have you ever done things that you knew were wrong, and you did them anyway? Yes. Have you ever done things that were actually harmful or not beneficial to your life, but you still chose to do them anyway? Yes. And you make these choices, and I make these choices all the time. And there's a constant battle within with what the Bible calls the flesh, or the sinful, or the old nature. And it's a struggle. That's why you start a new habit and then you stop it. And you give up halfway through the diet, or you give up halfway through the plan to get in shape, or you give up halfway through the I'm going to do this. There's the battle within. There's the battle around you, and that's the world. That's our culture. And everything in our culture tries to tear you down. It's not trying to build you up. Culture's not trying to build you up. Culture tries to tear you down. It says, you're worthless, you don't matter, you don't count, you're nothing unless you're absolutely gorgeous and the smartest and the most athletic and the rest of you tough. If you don't make it to number one, you're a nobody. And the world is always trying to get you through peer pressure and things to do things that really you don't even want to do a lot of times. But I need to do it in order to keep up with the Joneses. By the way, forget about the keeping up with the Joneses. They just refinanced. Okay? And they're headed for bankruptcy, so you don't want to try to keep up with them.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called When You Feel Like Giving Up from our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
Culture's not trying to build you up. Culture tries to tear you down. It says, you're worthless, you don't matter, you don't count, you're nothing unless you're absolutely gorgeous and the smartest and the most athletic and the rest of you tough. If you don't make it to number one, you're a nobody. And the world is always trying to get you through peer pressure and things to do things that really you don't even want to do a lot of times. But I need to do it in order to keep up with the Joneses. By the way, forget about the keeping up with the Joneses. They just refinanced. Okay? And they're headed for bankruptcy, so you don't want to try to keep up with them. But then there's the battle against you, and that is Satan. The devil is real. Oh, yes, there is a real Satan. Now, he's not equal to God. He was created by God, rebelled against God. And there is real good and there is real evil in the world. If you don't believe it, let me take you on a world tour. I have seen the atrocities of real evil. More people are in slavery today than were in during the Civil War. 14 million in slave trafficking, sex trafficking alone. And there is real evil and real torture in the world. And Satan, of course, is behind that. And so there's this war on your life. And that's why everything's hard. That's why everything's a battle. That's why this life is not easy. It's tough. Now, there's a group of men and women in the Bible that God calls his heroes of faith that won the battle. And they're there in the Bible for us to learn how to fight the battle. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews 11 is God's Hall of Fame. And if you'll take out your message notes, we're going to look at this passage at the end of it in detail. These are people who fought the battle well, ended well. I want you to end the race well. And in the early part of Hebrews, chapter 11, it talks about people you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. And David and Gideon and Samson and the prophets. And it just talks about a lot of these men and women of faith who fought the battle well. Now, I want you to be able to fight the battle well, and I want you to understand your ammunition. So we're going to go into a major series this summer that I'm calling the Invisible War. And if ever you need it, particularly during this recession, this is a time you need to understand the spiritual forces aimed against you and the spiritual resources you have to fight those forces. You don't have to be afraid of Satan, but you do need to know what to do in each circumstance. Now, learning to live by faith involves pain. You can't learn to live by faith if you always live by your feelings. So sometimes God takes away your feelings and actually allows some bad feelings in your life. It's easy to love God and serve God when things are going great. It's when life sucks that real faith shows up. It's when life is terrible, when life is not going my way, when everything's going the wrong way. That's when real faith shows up. Faith doesn't promise a perfect, easygoing life. This is not heaven. This is earth. This is the learning stage. This is the preschool. This is the learn it all in the school of hard knocks stage. So learning to live by faith includes, you know, facing pain. It involves delayed prayers. It even involves some unrealized promises of God. In Hebrews 11, after explaining all these great giants, the writer of Hebrews then begins to talk about people who lived by faith but didn't get what they wanted in life. Who went through tough times, torture and problems and difficulties. Let's pick it up in Hebrews chapter 11, there on your outline, verse 35. It says, but others, you know, after talking about all these, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, others trusted God and they were tortured, preferring to die rather than to turn from God and be free. Did you know that more people died for their faith, for believing in Jesus Christ in the last 100 years than all the previous centuries combined? Did you know that 14 million people a year die simply because they're Christians? They're killed because of that around the world? You don't hear much about that. It says these people were tortured, preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free. They placed their hope in the resurrection for a better life. Some were mocked and their backs were cut open with whips, and others were chained in dungeons. He says these are people of faith too. Some died by stoning and some were sawed in half, and others were killed with a sword. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats and hungry and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They were too good. I'd like God to be able to say that about me and you. They wandered over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. And all these people that we've mentioned received God's approval. In other words, they were doing the right thing because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had far better things in mind. Notice, God had far better things in mind. For us, that's talking to us, that would also benefit them. And they can't receive the prize at the end of the race until we finish the race. Whoa, now that's pretty heavy. So let's just look at this for a minute. This passage teaches three very profound truths. I could spend the entire morning just on this section, but I want to get to the practical parts here. But let me point out three things. First, faith doesn't spare us from pain. You can be doing the right thing and be in pain. Okay? Sometimes we suffer for doing good. And then the second thing is that some of God's promises will be fulfilled in eternity. Now you see, we think all of the promises God makes to us, and there are over 7,000 of them in the Bible, that these promises have to be fulfilled while we're here on earth. But you're going to live far longer than just here on earth. You're going to live for eternity. God has all of eternity to fulfill His promises. And just because a promise isn't fulfilled today or tomorrow or the next day does not mean God's not going to. A delay is not a denial. And some of God's promises to you and to me are going to be fulfilled in eternity. That's what He's saying. And they look forward to that. And then the third thing it says is that they can't receive the prize. These people who've gone before us, Abraham and Moses and all these guys that he talked about, they can't receive the prize at the end of the race until we finish the race. What's he saying here? The Bible's saying that you and I are runners in a historical, for all of history, relay race. And that God is raising up a people that's going to be His family for eternity. And there have been generations before us who ran the race, and they passed off the baton to us, and now we're running our lap, and then we're going to pass off the baton to the next generation, and they're going to run the race God has for them, and they'll pass it off to the next generation. And the race isn't won until the last runner hits the goal line. Can you imagine being at the Olympics, and it's the 400-meter relay race, and the guy at the second end of the second 100 meters stops and goes, "Okay, I'd like my medal. Give me my gold medal now." And they say, "Wait a minute, the race isn't over." "No, but I finished my part." "No, but you're part of a big race. And the reward is not coming until the whole race is done, and then you get the gold. You don't get it just after you've run your part. You get it after everybody's run." It says they can't receive the prize until we finish the race. That means they're watching us. Okay, they're watching us. Now look at this next verse. "Therefore," now, you know, I've always said to you, whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, what do? You find out what it's. Yeah, therefore, exactly. And he's saying, in light of all these people who lived before me, Abraham and Moses and David and all these guys, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith," in other words, the life we're living, "let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress." And he says, "Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." Now he says, we do this, we run the race, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards, after the cross. Now he's seated at the place of the highest honor beside God's throne in heaven. Think about all he endured when sinful people did such terrible things to him. "So that you don't become weary and give up." This is a passage on not giving up. "After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin." In other words, you haven't died. You're no martyr. You haven't shed your blood for your faith. Now, this passage gives us six very powerful keys to how to keep on keeping on when you feel like giving up. If you have been discouraged by your marriage, your money, your job, or anything else, you picked a good weekend to come to church. Because this week we're going to look at the six keys to how to endure the tough spots of life, because they do come. How do you keep on keeping on? What do you do when you feel like giving up? What do I do when I feel like giving up? I need to do the six things that are covered in this passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's get right into it. The first thing I need to do is I need to remember that heaven is watching me. Remember that heaven is watching me. Now, this is the very first thing the writer of Hebrews tells us when he's trying to give us encouragement to not give up. Verse 1, first part. Therefore, in the light of all these people, Abraham and Moses and Jacob and David and all these great saints of history, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, do you realize that your life is being watched? I don't want to spend a lot of time on this one, but let me just say it this way. Your life has an audience. Nothing you do is private. Nothing you do is personal. Nothing you do is secret. Heaven is watching. Now, we all know God sees everything. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. In other words, God, it doesn't miss a thing. Job 31:4, He sees everything I do and every step I take. God knows your ups, your downs. He saw you being formed in your mother's womb, saw you take your first breath. He saw you commit every sin, every good thing, all of the bad, every part of your life. He knows. He has every head on your hair numbered. He knows every thought you have. So nothing is hid from God. We know that. Other people may not know, but we know that God knows. But not only that, it says here, we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith. Your life has an audience. Does that make you happy? No.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You know, we all face temptations every day. It's a spiritual battle that takes place inside us, and it makes us vulnerable, particularly if we don't know how to fight it. To overcome temptation, it is absolutely essential that you know the tactics that Satan uses to trip us up. And it's vital to learn the biblical defenses that God gives us. He has told us in His Word how to handle and how to manage the attacks of Satan. Now, in order to help you learn how to respond to the predictable patterns that Satan uses to tempt you, I've created a study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. This kit, The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, includes a DVD with 7 different sessions and a simple booklet that will help you learn how to overcome and defeat temptation in your life. You really need this. In the series, I will teach you the 3 kinds of temptation, God's antidote to temptation, and even how to avoid temptation in the first place. It is a study guide that you can use by yourself, but you'll actually get more out of it if you'll gather a small group of friends together and study it together as a small group. Now, I want to send you the Invisible War, Winning the Battle for Temptation study kit as my gift to say thanks for your support of Daily Hope with your financial gift. You know, we can't do this without you. And your generosity helps us take the hope of Christ into places all around the world, and now to places that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. You can visit rickwarren.org, www.rickwarren.org, or you can call my staff at 1-800-600-5004. If you'll be a supporter, if you'll help me out, if you'll join my team, call 1-800-600-5004. And we'd love to pray for you at the same time. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. And be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our Daily Hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.